From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Steve Mork in for Brian Mackey. And for the entire hour today, we're going to be talking about college basketball in the 21st state. More specifically, a focus on the Illinois Fighting Illini and Illinois State Redbirds. We'll be talking about the Redbirds later in the hour, but first off, it's the Illinois men. As we speak, they are in Indianapolis preparing for their game tomorrow against the University of Kentucky in the Final Four matchup of the NCAA March Madness tournament. They're just finishing up open practice at Lucas Oil Stadium to literally a couple thousand Illini fans. It looks pretty crazy. They enter the game tomorrow with a 28-8 record on the season, and it's the first time they've made it to the Final Four since 2005, and before that, 1989. It has Illini fans across the state, the country, in a frenzy. That was students at the University of Illinois celebrating at the alma mater statue following the Illini's Elite Eight victory over Iowa. There's lots to cover in the hour, so let's get to it. Joining me now in studio is Curtis Allen, host of The Drive on ESPN 93.5. Curtis, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Also joining me in studio is Maisie Garrett. She's an anchor and producer for Illini Sports Night and Student U broadcaster for Big Ten Plus and a senior at the University of Illinois. Maisie, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And last but not least, joining me via Zoom is David Pollack. He's a freelance photographer that covers Illinois sports. David, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
And you can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. How are you cheering on the Fighting Illini? Are you a student taking this all in for the first time? Does their current run bring back memories of 05 or 89? Are you heading to Indy this weekend? How are you watching the game? We also asked our texting group about this, and in Urbana said, we are avid Illini fans. Illini basketball is the only sport I watch. Our out-of-town kids and grandkids are also Illini fans. We watch separately and text each other all throughout the game. We are set for Saturday. So let's get this started. Curtis, what do you think about the men's team performance this far?
This has been just a blast this whole season. It was a team that coming into the year, the Balkan experiment, as a lot of people called it, for Brad Underwood, they knew that experts knew that this team was going to score. They knew this was a team that could score a lot of points. I don't know if we expected this to be the number one scoring team in the country in all of college basketball. The big question mark was defense. And to see this turnaround at this time in the postseason in the NCAA tournament has been nothing short of incredible. And the adjustments that this coaching staff has made along the way, I can't say enough positive things about it. You know, for all the knocks that Brad Underwood has taken over the years, sometimes rightfully so, man, has he done a phenomenal job with this unit this year.
And David, you've been on the sideline for most of the season. What has it been like seeing this team throughout the whole year?
Yeah, I mean, just to echo what Curtis said, I mean, they have such an exciting energy. And again, the offense piece has been so fun to watch and get great shots of dunks and three-pointers and celebrations. And then now at this point to get the defense too and get the blocks and get the stops and get the turnovers has been absolutely phenomenal. Photographing the bench, getting them all excited and riled up has been awesome.
Who's been the most photogenic player?
I like Kylan Boswell's swagger. I think Keaton Wagler too. I mean, he has so many great moments and he's always strictly business. So when you get that smile out of him, that's always the best.
Have you got any good poster dunks yet?
I have quite a few of the Ivicic brothers.
They are dunkers for sure. And Maisie, in your view, who have been some of the more standout newcomers this season, much like Zvonimir?
Yeah, Zvonimir has to be my biggest. I don't think he's really been talked about enough this season. I think he is a very consistent player for this team, even if he's not putting up more than 10 points a game like we're seeing with Keaton a lot of the times. Zvonimir has the energy he brings to this team every single game. He's probably the biggest cheerleader on that bench and on the court, and defensively he's going up for every single ball at the rim.
Literally and figuratively biggest cheerleader on the bench. He's 7'3", so he's pretty easy to pick out. What about this team's chemistry has changed compared to last year?
Biggest thing is I think this team is just very obviously more connected. And I think last year it was kind of like, are these guys really friends outside? I'm like a couple of them, sure. But as a team, they didn't seem as collective to me. This year, there's a lot of natural connections. If it's the Ivicic twins, or if it's Kylan Boswell sounded like he recruited Andre Stojakovic harder than Brad Underwood did. So it's those little connections. And then Merk with his personality bringing it in. They just all have a huge love for basketball, a drive to win, and coming together. They love their coaching staff. I think that's a huge reason why they're in the Final Four.
And right before the NCAA tournament, they had this team meeting that everyone on Twitter is now calling hashtag the meeting, because it's really turned their season around.
Yeah. It's called by freshmen, David Mirkovic and Kylan Boswell, without the coaches. The coaches didn't tell them to do it. That was all a team objective. And coming off of a big loss in the Big Ten tournament, they knew they had to kind of whip themselves in shape. And it is the meeting, the room where it happened.
Yeah. So some of our listeners might not understand why there are so many European players on the team. Curtis, how is Underwood's recruitment efforts there paid off?
Oh my goodness, I think it's the standard now, right? Like if you look at college coaching, coaches are always trying to find that next wave of whatever it is. Whether, you know, you can look at a guy like Kurt Cignetti and what he did with a 1-year turnaround at Indiana for their football program. But Brad really championed this move to Europe and into the Balkans. You find a lot of players that are, you know, they're college athletes, but they also have some professional experience over there. And there's a certain lineage there, too, when you talk about, as Maisie just did, with Andre Stojakovic and what his dad was as an NBA player. I think it is a game changer, and it's not a coincidence that now you're seeing other top-tier programs. All, you know, we talk about the Ivicic twins, or, you know, the itch has been a joke among some of the analysts in college sports, but now you're seeing a lot of these young men from over there that have found their way to Michigan or Purdue or Arizona or whatever. You're going to see, it won't just be Illinois that has some players from Europe in the Final Four this weekend.
And has there any big criticism for Illinois maybe focusing on Eastern Europe as opposed to kids from Illinois?
That's a fair question. I mean, I think that's part of why it's been called an experiment. You know, early in the year, there was this thought that maybe these guys didn't have the same support system because their families were so far away that, you know, the in-state kids did, or even Keaton Wagler coming over from Kansas. And I think that kind of also, I'm going to get off on a side tangent here, but it kind of speaks to what Maisie said about just how close those guys are. The guys from Europe in particular. I don't know if it's a knock to not get the in-state kids necessarily. I think, you know, a lot of that boils down more so to the state of college basketball, NIL money and things like that, and what a budget might be for a program and versus where players are being recruited. But I do think with success comes better recruiting, and I wouldn't be shocked to see more in-state talent come to Illinois or choose Illinois over the next couple of years because of this run that Underwood's had.
And Maisie, the men's team is not the only team that's had a run lately for basketball. The women's team also had a wonderful season this year. Can you tell us more about how Shauna Green and her team did this year?
Yeah, they had a really, really strong season. You know, didn't end the way that they're planning on. But this is the youngest team that was in the tournament for the women's side this whole season. Destiny Jackson, Ciara Parchment, standout freshman, really led the entire team this year, which is huge. Illinois just had 5 seniors graduate, so they didn't really know where they stood going into this year. But Shauna Green has just done absolute wonders for this program. She's really preached culture here at Illinois, wanting to change that culture. And, you know, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to do it and execute it. And she's done that really, really well. Right now, it will be really interesting to see how much retention she gets. She's been successful at retention so far at Illinois, but after this year, Ciara Parchment's going to be thrown a lot of NIL money from other schools, so kind of a test to see the loyalty there and what Shauna Green can do to keep her.
It's been interesting, too, because retention in college sports is big with NIL. Like, I think there's a lot more teams using the NIL money to retain players instead of go get new ones, and Brad has been doing that in one way, and now Shauna's kind of got to latch onto that too.
Yeah, for sure. I think especially after this year. We saw that with the seniors last year, five of them stuck around. But now Illinois women's basketball is making a name for themselves. They had a sellout this year against USC. That was huge. They had a huge standout performance against UCLA, the number two team in the country. Their head coach said, hey, this young team, you guys should stick around, really foster what you have. And I don't think that was just a call out to those young athletes. I think that was to the administration saying, you guys need to do whatever you can to keep these girls around.
Open the checkbook a little
bit. Oh, yeah.
David, what does it take to get great shots of a team during games? I know there's a lot of movement going on, so maybe locking into one thing could be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a balance. So I always try, I don't want to like get tunnel vision and focus too much on where the ball is actually. I kind of want to make sure I'm looking at the celebrations on the bench, like I said earlier, like the players on the wings ready to get the ball and drain a Jake Davis corner three, right? So kind of it's a lot of scanning back and forth. I would say the majority is kind of following the ball movement and following the action, but trying to make sure that I'm watching like the other players' actions too. I actually saw in a game in Houston, Merck was trying to call a play by like wiggling his tongue back and forth to the other players. And so like that was an action I got because I was following him instead of following the ball.
He is seems like so much fun.
Yes.
So we've talked about culture a lot so far. Where do you see the culture among fans and other components of the games? It's like the Marching Illini or the Illini Hoops Band, the cheerleaders, the dancers, and all that.
Yeah, I think there's just so much spirit around the Illini, especially this season. I think like as they're getting more and more national attention, the fans are showing out in all these different places. You know, there's huge crowds in South Carolina. There are huge crowds in Houston. The cheer and the band travel as well. So, I mean, really just like this orange and blue family kind of surrounding the players. And I think that speaks to what we talked about earlier of, that, you know, this is their family. This is their network in the United States right now. And so to have this showing of fans is huge for them and gives them that support that they need.
Do you see a lot of interesting signage in the stands every once in a while?
I see lots of interesting signage in the stands. Absolutely. There are a lot of like first time game or I know there's a couple signs either last year or 2 years ago that like I beat cancer twice to be here. So, I mean, there's this drive and this passion from the fan base to really show out. I know I saw photos earlier of today, the open practice. I mean, it's half the stadium's full just for the practice. So, I mean, these Illini fans they're not going to stop at anything to be able to get to the game.
When you're at these games of taking photos, do you really have to concentrate on what's going on in the court? Do you kind of let your mind wander and take photos of the crowd outside? Or is it just really you're focusing on the game and trying to get what's underneath the basket you're under?
For these big ticket games, I try to do a lot more of the ambiance. I try to get some like outside the stadium and the fans showing up and things like that. For a routine home game, I'll really focus just on the game itself. But of course, like the support staff and the cheerleaders and the band, I always grab pictures of them too. But then for games like this, I really try to get the action, the big moments, a lot of the March Madness signage and things like that. Everybody likes that blue to be in the photos as well. I actually caught like a couple of timeouts where the players were having the timeout and the coaching staff were on the side as well. So again, that kind of speaks to that like player-led initiative that they're working on since that Big Ten loss. So again, like all those little moments in between that really help tell the story of whatever the game is.
Aunt Maisie, you're a senior here at U of I. You're also a journalist. Mm-hmm. So how do you separate the journalist part of your life with the student part of your life with a team going to the Final Four?
Honestly, sometimes it's hard, but for me, it's become more easy. You know, I'm down on the sideline for a lot of these games getting video, and it's one of those things where if there's a good play, I'll clap on my leg a little bit, show a little bit of support every now and then. But, you know, just being there with the team, that's kind of enough fandom for me to do that. But also keeping the objectivity for me has been pretty easy, especially this season. You know, they're doing good. I'm going to report on them doing good. But there's something off there. I want to see them do better. I'm going to call them out.
Right. I mean, I just think of the dunk that Zvonimir had in I think that was the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you couldn't cheer for that. That was probably the most exciting play that's happened so far. Maybe not so far. In March Madness, other than UConn winning on a buzzer beater. But that was quite the thing. So I'm sure there were other people on that press row at least doing a little fist bump underneath the desk.
Oh, yeah. Luckily for that one, I was back here on campus. So I could cheer as loud as I wanted for that one. But, yeah, no, those little special moments. You do a silent cheer to yourself and... Yeah. And keep going.
David, what's the experience been like for you?
I would say it's similar. We try to keep quiet when you're on the baseline and shooting and things like that. But I mean, Maisie and I have been on the sidelines together for football, basketball, and every once in a while, you know, we shoot each other a look and like a smile. You know, we're excited about something that happened, but we're trying to keep it on the down low and make sure nobody saw that we were cheering right there. And I think that's pretty typical for a lot of the freelancers or other Illini photographers and videographers that are there. You know, we're of course excited. We're trying to rein it in a little bit, but we're excited.
Well, stick with us. We got to take a short break on the program. When we come back, it's hopefully your calls and more with David Pollack, Maisie Garrett, and Curtis Allen on Illinois' historic run in the NCAA March Madness Tournament. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Steve Morkin for Brian Mackey. Throughout the hour today, we're talking about college basketball across Central Illinois. The Illinois men's team is in the Final Four of the March Madness Tournament, while over at Illinois State, both men's and women's teams have shown success in the NIT tournaments. We'll talk about the Redbirds in just a little bit, but we're finishing up our conversation on the Fighting Illini first. We've been speaking with Maisie Garrett, anchor and producer for Illini Sports Night and student broadcaster for Big Ten Plus, Curtis Allen, host of The Drive on ESPN 93.5, and David Pollack, a freelance reporter that covers Illinois sports. Join in the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Where are you cheering on the Fighting Illini? Are you headed to Indy? Does their current run bring back memories of 05 or 89? And Curtis, speaking of 05 and 89, we're similar age. You're a little bit older than I am. What can you tell us remembering from 2005? I don't know if you remember much of 89.
I was a little guy. I do remember the Flying Illini. I mean, I can't remember a lot of specifics, but I was like four or something like that. And I remember watching those games with my dad and my mom. And Kendall Gill was my guy when I was little. You know, he was awesome. But the 05 run... I remember being in my dorm and just yelling things that would make my mother blush at my TV because Sean May was getting away with so many fouls on Roger Powell. It drove me insane. But that 05 run was special. And those guys were – we talked about this on the show the other day. We talk about the characters with this group, like Merck and the Ivasich twins and stuff. Like, they're funny guys. They're characters. That group in 05 were cool. Like, they were the cool kids on campus. Sports Illustrated, all that,
I mean,
stuff.
That cover is iconic.
That was iconic, and D. Brown doing the jersey pull and all that. Then every athlete started doing the D. Brown
and
jersey pull,
doing it.
And they're still doing it 20 some years later. But yeah, those guys were just they were just rock stars around here, and they still are in a lot of ways. You know, D is still he's Mr. Champagne. He does all sorts of great stuff in the community. So, but yeah, a very memorable time, and rightfully so. It was great stuff back then.
And we did have a text from Fran in Hinckley, not Fran McCaffrey. The Flying Illini didn't graduate from U of I, but will be cheering on for them. So there's people all over the place, alumni and non-alumni, that are cheering them on. And Maisie, what are you looking forward to for Saturday's game?
I'm looking forward to the energy. I'm really looking from the fans and the team. I think they've got a lot of fire behind them right now. I mean, not only because they're on a run, but they were killed by UConn earlier this year back in December. So I think this is a big moment to get a little bit of revenge in there. They ended that NCAA run back in 24. So a lot of mixed emotions from the Illini over to UConn. So I think should be interesting.
I'll be very happy if Illinois goes in its own 30-0 run during
That'd
the game.
That'd be great.
David, what you're also a teacher up in the suburbs. What do you hear from the youngest Illini fans, if there are any up in the suburbs?
Yes, there are quite a few. They're very excited every time I come in a kind of sleepy first period. They know that I've been at the game the night before, and they ask me all kinds of questions. But yeah, they've got good energy too. They're excited. They're always driving down for games as well, basketball and football. They're all, I mean, the ball knowledge that some of these middle schoolers that I teach have is crazy. I mean, they know the stat lines better than I do. They know all about the players and their backgrounds and things like that. And they can reference specific plays that I've even missed. So it's a lot of fun to be able to talk to them. And they've got some very big excitement for this weekend as well. I've already gotten some emails from some of those students.
I remember I was a junior, I believe, or sophomore of in 05. No, I would have been a freshman when the game would have been on. In 05 for freshman high school when that team was going on. And there were, I can't remember a ton of people latching onto the team then, but I was also in Northwest suburbs. My parents didn't go to school, didn't go to universities, so maybe there was more friends out there that did it. But are there kids in Kylan Boswell jerseys in the suburbs?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely not as much as down in Champaign, but there are quite a few. And again, there are a couple kids that started the year as Illini fans, and then there are a lot that have become Illini fans. Almost my whole team were all University of Illinois graduates, so they've kind of learned how to play into the hand that they've been dealt with all their teachers. So they wear a lot of orange now. That's for sure.
And the orange isn't one of the school colors either up there, is it?
It
Like
is not one of the school colors, no.
I wore a lot of orange in high school because it was orange and black for McHenry, but that's where it was for me. So you see all these students latching onto it. Do you see some of these students talking about going to U of I maybe after they're done?
Yeah, absolutely. They talk about that piece of it as well. So again, I've got some kids that are really focused on the sports aspect, but we have a lot of students, especially like eighth graders, as they start thinking about high school and next steps, that they're talking about the strong academics too. I'm one of the science teachers, and we have a competitive science team, and the kids are always talking about all the STEM offerings that University of Illinois has. So again, they are thinking big picture as well, not just the crazy Ivicic dunks and things like that.
And Curtis, what does a trip to the Final Four do for Brad Underwood's legacy at Illinois?
Oh, I think it solidifies it, right? I mean, we're talking about pretty rare air for this program, and that's why we still talk about the Flying Illini and that 05 team. And there's an opportunity here to do something those two programs didn't do, and that's win a national title. Just getting back to the national title game is a big deal, that opportunity. So, I mean, I think Underwood will go down as one of the greats because of this run. He's had sustained success. He's had, the group with Io and Kofi and Georgie and those guys and Terrence Shannon Jr. You can kind of go through the list of teams he's had over his tenure, and I really think this solidifies his place among the best basketball coaches in Illini history.
Where are you putting the statue?
Where am I going to put it? Right outside the radio station where I work, so we can get some foot traffic over there.
I mean, that's kind of where we're at, though. I mean, it's Lou Henson Court. I mean,
Right, right.
he's the other one to make it to a Final Four. Bruce Weber is on TV, but he kind of took Bill Self's team, so that's kind of where we're at. I think people are coming to grips with that because Brad has irked people the wrong way sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think Brad's going to be an analyst on TV when his coaching career's done. I don't see he can be a little too prickly sometimes, but no, I think the statue would look great outside State Farm Center, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I really, really do. Where's the statue going for you?
I think outside of State Farm Center over at Ubbin. They've got a really nice facility over there now. I could see it going there. But I will say, though, over to you, Curtis, Brad Underwood went to school for journalism and sports broadcasting. So I don't know. After his career, you might want to keep pursuing.
That's a fair point. Maybe. Maybe. You know what? I know Brad's going to listen to this. So if he would like to come join us at ESPN 93.5 when his coaching career is done, he can. We welcome him. Absolutely.
Maisie, the post-game celebrations for the Illini, especially after big games, are filled with water guns. I hope you're not getting soaking wet from water guns and the open locker rooms at all. But is this kind of a unique thing for Illinois?
It's unique as of recent. We saw it back in 24. They made Christmas shirts of Brad with the water gun and everything. But I think it's unique to Illinois. A lot of people do the water bottles and everything. But if it's a trend, it's from Illinois. And it's kind of one of those things. You see the water guns come out, you know, okay, these guys are in good spirits. They're ready to keep rolling. They're having fun.
One of my more funny things that I saw on Twitter or X was David Mirkovich and a perch mm-hmm. on top of a locker room. I'm going to tell him not to do that anymore, because
with the cowboy hat the on,
he was having the time of his life in Houston, and it's so good for him that. And I'm glad that this Illini team yeah. is able to show their personalities a little bit more, because there aren't open locker rooms during the season, as you guys know. So reporters from not just Champaign-Urbana, but from across the country really are seeing this team show their personalities. Like, David, you've been capturing their personalities on the court, but they're more than just basketball players too.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that this open locker room idea is really fun to see. And again, all the social media things help kind of push that story to everybody. But yeah, these guys are they're fun, and they're having a good time. But what I like about them is, again, they're able to dial in when it's time, and they lock in for the games. And then yeah, they're gonna mess around with water guns and wear cowboy hats and do whatever they need to do.
Oh, so the game on Saturday is against UConn. As we've talked about before, UConn is recent memory is 2-0, at least with Dan Hurley behind the bench with. Against Illinois, that 30-0 run in, what was that, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And then last past season, they lost to UConn in Madison Square Garden. Where do we see this game going today or on Saturday? Curtis, I'll start with you.
This is a very, very different, two very different teams now than they were back in November. And just focusing on the Illini, I mean, Mihailo Petrović played 18 minutes in that game, and I'm not trying to knock Mihailo, but I don't think he's played 18 minutes total since then. Tommy had a soft tissue injury. Andre Stojakovic was working through some of that stuff as well. They're healthy, and defensively, what they've done is just so impressive. UConn is still great. I mean, at this point, everybody left is great and has an opportunity to win a national title. I just think what Illinois is doing defensively finally really complements, you know, putting up 80-plus points a night. And I think it'll be a tight game, but I really think Illinois is going to head to a national championship. I don't know about an actual score prediction, but, you know, one of those grinded-out free-throw wins at the end of the game, maybe like a 4- or 5-point Illinois victory on tomorrow night.
If it follows a trend, are we going to see a close game going in the second half then?
I think so. I think anybody that's knocked Underwood and not being the guy that makes adjustments has been proven wrong so far in this tournament, and there would be a feeling out process. Like, all three games up to this point have been, you know, low scoring in the first half, and then you see them drop 40 points in the second half. So wouldn't be shocked by that at all.
Maisie, what do you think for Saturday?
Yeah, just kind of piggybacking off of Curtis, I think this team offensively is pretty unstoppable. They're top in the nation. That's going to be huge for them, but also flipping over onto those really close games could be ending up in a free throw battle. Mm-hmm. Illinois has done really, really good at not drawing fouls for them. If they can limit the amount of times UConn gets to the charity stripe, that's going to be huge for them. It could be game changing.
David, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I was there in Boston a couple years ago when UConn did do that 30-0 run, hoping for not a repeat on that one. I do think that Illinois has a little bit smarter of a team this year. I think they've got that balance of the offensive piece and then, yeah, like the defense without fouling. So I'm hoping that it's a close game and Illinois pulls out the win, absolutely.
Now there's another Final Four game. We have got the University of Arizona and the University of Michigan. A lot of people are saying it's the de facto national championship game, because these two teams are very big and very fast and very strong, to quote Stacey King. Who do we see coming out of that Arizona-Michigan game? We'll start with you, Curtis.
I picked, when the tournament started, I picked Michigan to win it all. I love Arizona. I'm an Arizona fan, but Yaks and that group, they're just...
He scares me.
Yeah, it's you've got four legitimate NBA players on that roster right now with Michigan, and they, yeah, there's a scary team. That's a scary team, with all due respect to Arizona. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Michigan in the national title game.
And Maisie?
For all three of my March Madness brackets, I have Michigan winning. Same reasons. They're huge. They're big and scary. And Mara has been really huge for that team. They're just seemingly unstoppable right now.
David, are you going to finish the trifecta here, or are you going to go with Arizona?
I agree with the other two. I think Michigan is kind of like an unstoppable train. They're very big. They're very strong. And it seems like they just like keep going and going and going and going. So I have them as well.
So then this could potentially be the first time the Big Ten has won a national championship since Michigan State won in 2000. What does that say about the quality of just Big Ten basketball? And Curtis, we'll start with you.
Oh, I think the Big Ten's been the best conference in basketball this year. You can look at the ACC, and there's a couple of teams that you can point at Duke, or the SEC has not been a basketball powerhouse. It's been the Big Ten's year all around, and count me in for an Illini revenge tour. Let's get a W over UConn and then beat Michigan in the national championship game. I'm all in on the revenge tour, Steve.
That's how my bracket ended up. I had Arizona over Michigan at one point in time. I did have Michigan winning, but it was an Illinois-Michigan national championship game with Illinois winning it all the way. What about you, Maisie?
Yeah, I think this is huge for the Big Ten. 50% of the Elite Eight was Big Ten schools. Now 50% of Final Four is Big Ten. I think not only is it big for the publicity, but that brings in a lot of money to the Big Ten as well. That's going to be huge for their future recruiting and keeping the consistency. Not only basketball this year, but football was great too. The Big Ten's on a heater right now.
David, same to you.
Yeah, I think Big Ten, when you're following the conference closely, you know it's competitive, but nobody else really sees it that way. And now that it's on the national stage and these Big Ten teams are playing well against other conferences, everybody's starting to kind of take notice. And I think it's going to be huge for the conference. I think it's going to bring a lot of attention to all these different schools. I agree with Curtis. I like the revenge tour idea. Let's get Illinois all the way against Michigan.
And we've got about 2 minutes left. So looking ahead towards next season, Brad Underwood's team, there's going to be very, very different. It's going to be probably four new guys on the team, more than likely. Where do you see them going from here?
Me? I like Bielema's quote that he had about how NIL money's kind of even the playing field. And on the flip side of that, that works both ways, right? So I do expect it to be very, very different. I know Merck's going to get paid by somebody. That's all I know for sure. And it's going to look very different, but it's still very, very exciting.
David, what do you expect for next year?
Yeah, I think Brad's proven that he can put these teams together with talented players. I think this is the first year where the whole team collectively is cohesive. They work together really well. But, I mean, he's had years and years of star players that have gone very far, either in the college or the professional scene. So I trust Brad completely to create another team that's going to be very successful for Illinois.
Maisie, as your first season as an alum next year, where do you see them going?
Well, it's really hard to have back-to-back really strong seasons. We saw that back 24 into 25 season. So it's going to be a challenge to keep them going on a strong streak, but I don't have any doubts that Brad can't do it.
I remember when it was Illinois should just make a tournament and we'll be happy. And now they're potentially playing for a national championship game on Monday night. That was Maisie Garrett, and she's an anchor and producer at Illini Sports Night and student U broadcaster for Big Ten Plus. David Pollack is a freelance photographer that covers Illinois sports. And Curtis Allen is the host of The Drive on ESPN 93.5. Maisie, David, Curtis, thank you for taking the time to join us on the 21st show today.
Oh, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And still to come, both Illinois State men and women basketball teams made it to their NIT tournaments. We'll talk about the performance there and look back on their season after a short break. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.